Our Old Testament reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 17, reading verses 1 to 7, and then 15 and 16. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, "I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will make you exceedingly numerous." Then Abram fell on his face, and God said to him, "So, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You shall be the ancestor of a multitude of nations. No longer shall your name be Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you the ancestor of a multitude of nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. I will bless her, and moreover, I will give you a son by her. I will bless her, and she shall give rise to nations. Kings of people shall come from her." And our New Testament lesson is from Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 8 and verses 31 to 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said this all quite openly. But Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If you want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the sons of man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of God for us today. This cross I carried with me sometimes when I was a patrol minister in frontier services. I'd put it in my vehicle, and especially at Easter time, if I was doing services at the little places along the Barrier Highway with the Anglican priest, would take this cross. Also on Good Friday, it was carried into the Oruru Church on a number of Good Fridays, and it was treated with different symbolic ways. For instance, being carried in, once I remember by Colin Sampson, who made this cross, it was carried in to the sound of the muffled drum,
another time carried in with the clinking of iron when two iron spikes from the railway lines were used, so symbolic of the spikes of the crucifixion. And another time it was carried in and laid into the church and rose petals sprinkled over it. And on Easter Sunday morning, the cross was lifted up and it left an empty space where the cross had been. It was a handy cross because it folded up and could go into the vehicle. And it was a handy cross because I can lift it. It's very light. But I'm sure that's not... this cross and what I was doing with it is not really what Jesus was talking about when he spoke to the first Christians, to the disciples and the crowd around, spoke to them saying, if you want to follow me, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's not what he was talking about, I'm sure. It was about 30 to 40 years after Jesus' death when these words in Mark were written. It took courage and faith and hope to consider, then to decide to begin to follow Jesus, both at the time of Jesus, at the time that Mark was written and heard, and in between. Throughout those times, as we know, the occupying Romans kept tight control over the population, keeping the peace by threat of terror. And that is not unusual in our world today. We are afraid of that. We think that's horrifying. Troublemakers and those seen as subversive, challenging the system, were dealt with swiftly, often by crucifixion. In addition, in about 4 years, in that time between 60 and 70 years AD, the people rebelled, the occupying Romans retaliated with massacres, all culminating in the destruction of the temple and Jerusalem, with hundreds of people crucified each day, records tell us. At that place, in that place and at that time, following the way of Jesus, risked taking up your cross, as Jesus warned, as a real possibility, not just symbolic. In a society traumatized by institutionalized violence. And today, we think of Syria and other places as well. Reading these texts through the lens of trauma gives us a deeper understanding, and that's a whole study in itself. In the stark reality of life, it took faith and courage and hope to make the decision to live the life in the way of Jesus. Yet in Jesus, the followers found faith and hope and courage to bring meaning, to bring worthwhile meaning to the gift of life. We know there are situations for individuals, communities and nations now where people are victims of threat, violence and terror. Not only Christians, but others too. Horrifying. The earlier Christians adopted the symbol of the cross as well as the symbol of the fish, the symbol of the cross central to preaching and worship. The cross, the symbol of this radical new way. And it said that Christians would stand praying with their arms outstretched in the form of a cross. It must be said that self-denial and taking up your cross too has a tricky history. In the days of the Emperor Constantine, he made Christianity the official religion, and crucifixion was no longer used, and that was good. The cross was reinterpreted and used in war then, and later against other religions on the shields of the Crusaders. It was later that Martin Luther in Germany re-emphasised the cross as a symbol of personal sinfulness and our need for God's redeeming grace. In recent years, the cross has become a symbol for liberation and reconciliation. We see it in the World War II Coventry Cross of Nails in Coventry Cathedral in England. Has anyone been there and seen it? Yes, quite a few. And, you know, for those who don't know about it, where the German bombs came in the Second World War and destroyed the cathedral, and there was a part of a wall left standing, and out of the ruins were taken materials to make a cross, and out of that war, the hope of the cross. And it's also been connections through that in Germany with Dresden and another city that was just about wiped out by our Allies' bombs at the end of the war. And so in the Britain's Coventry Cathedral and these cathedrals in Germany, the cross is seen as liberation and reconciliation. It's also seen as liberation and reconciliation in the White Cross of El Salvador. El Salvador in 1989, the Lutheran Church, the bishop there in this city, and the church voices were denouncing injustice they saw in their own Salvadorian society. And they were targeted as subversives by the government for siding with the poor, for doing such radical things as operating a refugee camp for families fleeing armed conflict, and for teaching the poor that they were entitled to human rights as well as the rich and powerful. It said, you know the government views of your church when it sets up a machine gun post directly across the street from your church. And this church was named Resurrection Church, the Church of Easter, there in El Salvador. And the machine gun was always aimed at the front door of the church. It's a long story of the cross of that church. This white cross, where at that time when they were under such pressure, during a service, the people of the congregation went forward and wrote on the white painted cross the sins of their country, the sins of violence, of people being put into poverty and all the other things. And that cross was taken by the authorities, but 20 years later, the cross was actually returned to the church. And that cross is a cross of liberation and reconciliation. Denying ourselves and carrying our cross is not about casting about for a heavy burden to pick up. It does not require us to seek out situations of pain and danger that will cause damage to the person God calls us to be. And it's definitely not, as has been misinterpreted in a variety of ways, as this is your cross to bear. To keep those suffering persecution, oppression, domestic violence, abuse, and economic justice from breaking free. It's not enduring patiently to forgive just as Jesus forgave his executioners and that it'll be all right when we get to heaven. That flies in the face of everything that Jesus did in his ministry. Jesus liberated people spiritually and physically. He spoke up for the voiceless, ate with the people considered the lowest, and fed them when they were hungry. To take up our crosses does not mean staying silent in the face of oppression, whether our own or someone else's oppression. It does not mean living out, but it does mean living out the way and the values of Jesus with discernment, faith, hope, and courage, and encouraging each other on the way. Especially encouraging each other on the way. If you're a high school student, a university student, if you are a parent of young children, or if you're a grandparent, if we're getting older and not as fit as we used to be, if we live and work in many different areas, whatever our circumstances, the pattern of our lives as we seek to follow Jesus, as we navigate with this a spirit of discernment, may be very different from each other. And the shape of the symbol of the cross will take on for us, it may be different. And we see the symbol of the cross as painted by the minister Jan Richardson from the US. And as you look at that cross, you may see a different cross, a light and a dark cross, as it changes in our view. I have this cross from the recent 10th anniversary of the apology to the Stolen Generations. It was from the stand of the Other Way Centre, the Aboriginal Catholic Centre at Stepney. We have after worship this morning the Lenten study, Australians Together Sharing Our Story. As we hear Aboriginal stories, as we truly listen, I suspect we may come to have different pathways to consider to have that chance to better become Australians together. Not only from this study, but in our 2018 Lenten walk, we may reflect on our journey. Are there things we need to release, to let go? Are there things we need to invite in as we are reminded of the love and the life Jesus gives? Amen.